Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. My boss, Jay Posner, joins me as always. We're live on Facebook Live and recording this on Monday morning. I think I got the day right, Jay. Like last week where there was that wraparound, we're actually starting a series on Monday. Padres-Dodgers. Big matchup. Luke Weaver for the Dodgers, Chris Paddock for the Padres. Before we get to it, we must address the last couple games at Coors Field and where the Padres are at after 10 games. Jay,
we also, Kevin, must address that it's Walker Buehler pitching for the Dodgers.
Walker Buehler. It is Walker Buehler.
And not Arizona's Luke Weaver. But
wouldn't be that great of a matchup. I mean,
I know it wouldn't. And he did pitch last Monday.
I mean, that would have been good if it was Jared Weaver.
Part of it, or I don't know. Can I blame the altitude? You had one weekend at altitude and
I just read a column in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch that mentioned Luke Weaver, and it was funny because it was by Ben Fredrickson, and I really like him, and it was about all the ex-Cardinals that are doing well around the majors. And so besides the fact that I like Ben, I read it because, you know, all you ever hear is about all the ex-Padres that are doing well in the majors, and it does happen to other teams too. Anyway, I did that on purpose to tell you a great story about ex-Cardinals around the majors. Padres, Dodgers, Walker Buehler, Chris Paddock, but Jay, the Padres, they suddenly can't hit, and of all places, it manifested itself at Coors Field.
Yeah, it's strange. And then you look at the stats this morning, and the Padres lead all of baseball in runs scored. But it's funny how it just doesn't feel like that. I mean, they had the one run on Saturday. You know, yesterday they only had one run, I think, through seven innings. It just felt like they really didn't do any hitting after beating up on Wade Davis on Friday night. Yeah, it's a little concerning. I mean, they're getting nothing out of the catching position. They're getting nothing out of Profar at this point at second base. He's, you know, yeah, he's had some good at-bats. He's gotten on base a little bit, but at some point he's got to get some hits. You know, Machado's average is down, but he's got some RBIs. Myers has some RBIs. Tommy Pham's been hitting. Trent Grisham's been hitting. Tatis always seems to hit. You know, first base is a bit of a concern now because we don't know when Eric Hosmer will be back. Yeah, the offense, you look at the overall numbers, I think they're in the top 10 in the major categories on base, slugging, OPS, even batting average. Like I said, they lead in runs scored, but it just felt like a little bit was missing over those last couple of days. And as you said, in all places to stop hitting Coors Field.
And it was so drastic and it was so noticeable because it had become just automatic. They were going to run a starting pitcher early, going to force him into the zone, and they were going to hit those pitches that came into the zone. Otherwise, they were going to walk and, you know, you were going to be done. Well, the Rockies said, hey, we're going to throw good pitches in the zone. And the Padres said, we're not going to hit the pitches that are. And so that's what happened. And you know what? Maybe you've heard before, it's a game of adjustments. Well, they got to do it against Walker Buehler, Dustin May, I believe, tomorrow. We'll see. Second base. Yeah, Profar. He sees a lot of pitches. He is battling. He's got a 0.79 batting average or something like that. It's not. The catchers. By the way, officially, the catchers only have one hit because Francisco Mejia's first hit was as a pinch hitter. So I think they're batting 0.39 or something like that.
we'll even throw the one hit in just to make it work a little
0.99.
Okay.
I don't know what to do, Jay, because, you know, the trade deadline, August 31st, what do you do for this season? I mean, certainly you got to get closer to it to find out if you're a legitimate contender. And I do want to talk about that, you know, and I'll let you lead us there, Jay. But like for going out and finding a catcher, I just don't see how it's going to happen.
It would be hard. I mean, look at it this way. How many really good catchers are there anyway? So what would you have to give up to get one? And, you know, it's not just about this season. So going forward, is Mejia an answer going forward? Is Luis Torrens an answer? Is Campusano maybe the best answer of all? But, you know, he's not going to help you this year. At least you sure wouldn't think so. So it's a real issue. And I just wonder at some point, and I noticed that Mejia played even the day game after a night game, Saturday, Sunday in Colorado. Is that a little bit of a hint that maybe they're going to give him a run here? And maybe that's not the worst thing in the world right now, is just, you know, let Mejia play five out of six games or something like that and see what you get out of him. Maybe he gets going a little bit. I mean, he did get a couple of hits, as we said, over the past few days, and just take your chances behind the plate. But boy, you can't get much worse than it is right now at that position. So maybe just pick one of those guys. And if you're looking for offense, obviously the Mejia is the more likely candidate. Put him out there for, like I said, 5 out of 6 games and see what happens.
Because no matter how good the defense is, and look, I spend a lot of time talking about how good Austin Hedges is, and just especially compared to Francisco Mejia, you can't have that hole in the lineup. That's a bigger deal right there. You just can't.
And I also wonder, and I saw somebody who I follow on Twitter say, I've seen a lot of people getting on Hedges and the catchers for the problems the pitchers are having. And, you know, it's one of those things that it's sort of my same feeling about batting coaches and all that stuff and a lot of other things. It comes down to players, you know, and the pitchers, and I don't know that the pitchers would use this as an excuse at all. We've seen Kirby Yates look a little uncomfortable in the past with Mejia. But again, the pitcher needs to, when the pitcher has the ball and he's standing on the mound, it's up to him to get himself in a position mentally, especially where he can look, it's my ball. I'm throwing the pitch. Here's what's coming. And I got to be good. I got to be better. You know, and I'm not saying Kirby Yates has used this as an excuse because he hasn't. But
no.
I don't understand that mentality of fans looking at it and saying it's the catcher's fault because the pitchers aren't pitching very well. The pitchers need to pitch better.
There is no doubt that both can be true. What you're saying is true, Jay. They got to deal with it because not everybody's Austin Hedges. But there's no doubt that Austin Hedges makes them feel more comfortable. Austin mm-hmm. Hedges, everything for them except throw the ball. And there's a lot going on, especially when a reliever's in a game, in terms of how they've changed the signs 3 different ways during the game. And there's a lot going on. And Hedges has a better grasp of that. And Hedges, that's his forte. However, what you're saying is true too, because Hedges is batting 0-0-0, and it's probably not going to get better. At least we have no scientific evidence that it's going to get better. So they need to learn how to deal with it. You are correct.
Well, and let me ask you this also. Do the pitchers have a 0 ERA when Austin Hedges is catching? You know, it's not like those guys aren't getting hit when Hedges is out there. As well. And I haven't run any numbers to see what, you know, the quote catcher's ERA is or anything like that. But I just think, like I said, and then to blame Hedges of all people because somebody's not pitching well, just seems counterintuitive to everything that we've heard. But I just think in a case like this, and it gets us into the bullpen, you know, guys need to pitch better. Emilio Pagan needs to pitch better. Kirby Yates said it himself, that he needs to pitch better. And by the way, I made this comment to you in a text the other day when the Padres said that Kirby Yates was going to be available. You know, you can explain a little better how things work this year, but there's not a lot of player access for reporters right now. And the players, I'm guessing, can pretty much decide whether they want the Padres to put them on a Zoom call with the media. Would have been very easy for Kirby Yates over the weekend after another rough outing to say, you know, look, I don't have anything to say to the media. And instead, Kirby Yates stood up, or I guess sat down, but he was a stand-up guy, and he answered you guys' questions and took responsibility. And I just thought that was the kind of thing we used to see from Trevor Hoffman and Greg Maddux when he was here and all those kind of guys. And I think we see it a lot from the pitchers on the staff today. And I just thought it was worth noting that Yates was not hiding from anybody. He got up there and he told you guys what was going on. He didn't make any excuses.
Absolutely. There's every day that goes by in this season, there's 10 or 12 stories or notes or something that I would have or attempt to get that this year just isn't happening. I'm at the mercy of callbacks, textbacks, the PR staff. And you may notice that there's not a whole lot of player input after losses, because one poor PR guy who has to go and ask them, will you talk? And
right.
Players, this is an absolute dream to not have reporters in the clubhouse waiting them out at their locker after they went 0-for-4 or they blew a game in the 8th or the 9th inning. Yates, however, that was when it first hit me, when Kirby Yates allowed those first 2 runs. By the way, Emilio Pagan's a stand-up guy as well. But it was Sunday, correct, where Kirby Yates and Emilio Pagan in back-to-back innings. And I said, oh, man, Kirby's always so good when he blows it. Now that's just me.
Yeah.
That was the first time it hit me, man, this season's different because we're not getting Kirby today. It is what it is. But yeah, there's a little less, I don't know, at least public, a little less public accountability. They're accountable in there, but there's a little less public accountability this year. And you are correct. That was stand up. And by the way, he was standing up. In front of the podium. It was really awesome. Okay. Anyway, Jay, the bullpen, I absolutely believe that there are a couple factors. I don't know they're going to get better, but I do believe that relievers thrive off the crowd and there's no external motivation. So it's all got to be internal. That's not an excuse. They got to figure it out. But you notice they're not the only bullpen around the majors that has been struggling. The other thing is I think the ramp up, and this is also supported by the fact that they're not the only bullpen struggling and that there's been injuries. The players got ready in January. They got up. They were ready to almost, you know, that peak opening day level that they were at the end of March. Okay. So now what are we going to do? They ramped back down and then they maintained for an inning or so in their bullpen sessions. And then 3 weeks of get ready for the season. I absolutely believe that these relievers are out of sorts. I do. If they can survive toward the end of the year, the Padres can maintain say a 500 mark till they get to their second off day after 30 games. I believe that this bullpen will be okay.
But in the meantime, and in the meantime, 7 of the next 10 games are against the best team in the league right now, and probably the either best or second best team in baseball, depending on how you judge the Yankees. So what are they going to do in the meantime? And obviously, one thing where it starts is with the starting pitchers, and they're going to have Paddock tonight and Lamet tomorrow and Richards on Wednesday, and then it's going to, you know, we'll see how it turns around next week when they go to LA for 4 games where, you know, maybe one or two of those guys won't pitch and you'll end up with Zach Davies and whoever else. The number 4 spot is a bit of a question mark right now, but it starts with those guys. And I don't think, you know, Paddock, again, another guy who said, I want to pitch against the Dodgers. So he's got his chance tonight. You know, Lamet and Richards have been around, Lamet for a couple of years, Richards for a lot longer. I mean, these are the three guys you want in this series, and it starts with them. And I'm really eager to see what happens this week. I can't wait for these 3 games.
It starts with them because they're the best 3 pitchers. They're the guys who have all said they want to be the pitchers. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly the series. You line it up like this and needs to work out for you. That said, and I don't want to say that that's not important because it's super important that these guys are going like 6 innings, 7 innings. That's what needs to happen. All right. Especially with the Dodgers penchant for being able to match up with any reliever you throw at them and score a lot. And so it'd also be good if the Padres could maybe score some runs earlier in a game. But here's what I think. They play 7 of 10 against the Dodgers. That's also 7 of their 10 games against the Dodgers. Like I said, they have 30 games in 31 days. The Padres need to get to 15-15 or something like that, all right? 16-14. And the schedule gets a little easier, at least on paper here. That's all we can do right now is on paper. And I just think they need to survive these next 10 games, like 5-5. You can't go 2-5 against the Dodgers. You can't do that and consider yourself a contender.
No, but I mean, well, you consider yourself a contender for second place. Which is
Rockies are playing pretty well, pitching pretty well.
That's all you're contending for anyway, because over, I don't care if it's 60 games or not. I don't see this team being better than the Dodgers over 60 games. But they do need to get, I think 5-5 for this week would be fine. And then, as you said, they only have the Dodgers 3 more times after that, which would be, you know, which is a help. So, and of course they only get, you know, and Arizona hasn't been very good so far. I can't say I'm terribly surprised by losing 2 out of 3 in Colorado. I mean, it just seems like whenever the Padres go up there, it's a struggle. You know, the problem with the Dodgers is it's been a big struggle. Jeff Sanders passed along these numbers for us that in the last 8 years, the Padres are 57-114. against the Dodgers. You know, 6-13 last year, 5-14 the year before that, 6-13 the year before that. So they need to find a way. Even I almost feel like if the Padres went 4-6 this year against the Dodgers, that would be, I'd consider that a success, to win four games against the Dodgers. And I'm not saying they can't win more, but if they could win, if they won four out of those 10, I think you take your chances going forward with everybody else.
That was my point there. Right. You can't be worse than that. I don't think. I think the Rockies are, they seem pretty decent. They're starting pitching. If you can do that in Colorado, and I'm only going by what I saw. Who knows what's going to happen with Arizona? I don't think San Francisco has any chance whatsoever. But I think that second place is certainly what you're playing for. And after that, then you got to be talking about that crowded Central. And what I think is perhaps seems like the Mets are falling apart. But, I mean, you don't want to be counting on the seventh or eighth spot. It would be real good to finish second. So let's talk about that hat for a second.
This hat is 43 years old. I want you to know it's traveled with me wherever I've gone. I was lucky enough as a teenager living in Carmel for 2 years as a Carmel Padre, as you have noted more than once. That was the high school mascot there, although the colors were red and gray. But as a teen, the PGA came to Pebble Beach in 1977, and I was one of the kids that walks around with the scoreboards on the fairways, which was, a thrill beyond belief. So I got this hat, and the hat is autographed. Actually, I don't know if you can make it out. I'll go forward here, but Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus autographed my hat.
That's incredible. And I have
kept that hat for, like I said, for 43 years. And with the PGA this week, I figured I would break it out. So sorry to those people on the podcast who are just hearing this, but Kevin.
That's incredible.
Kevin's my witness. There are autographs on the hat, and it's a PGA hat from, like I said, from 1977. Lanny Watkins won that PGA against Gene Littler, a former San Diego State Aztec, one of the great Aztecs in athletics, and I almost got to see him win it, but alas.
Okay, Jay, it's a great hat, and I'm glad, but I got distracted there too, because was there ever any sort of controversy around the Carmel Padres? I mean, red and gray? I mean, the colors, they just don't match. They don't go.
I don't know how they got those colors, and the athletic teams were never really good enough to matter anyway. So nobody paid much attention. But I did write about the Carmel Padres. My first sports writing job was for the Carmel Pine Cone, which is better known not so much for giving me my start as for being owned by Clint Eastwood later on after I was gone. So
wow, this is a great history lesson.
We return from our commercial break here. what else with the Padres? What are they going to do at first base?
Well, I think that's the issue. I mean, you can look at Eric Hosmer's 12 errors last year, but this guy's pretty good defensively. So not only, I think, obviously you lost a guy, whether he was going to keep hitting like that or not, you lost the very threat of Eric Hosmer in the number five spot. And that does make a difference. And you lost a left-handed bat. That's a big deal. You're at best going to make do. And I mean, I'm a huge fan of what Ty France has made himself, what Jake Cronenworth, who looks 14, is doing. I mean, absolutely. Everyone knows I got a real soft spot for Greg Garcia and he can play first. Heck, Profar could play first. What the best you're going to do is make do there. There have been some defensive gaffes. They're little ones. Did they end up mattering in a 9-6 loss that really wasn't that close and a 6-1 loss that was never close? No, they didn't. But they were two defensive gaffes, one by Ty France, one by Jake Cronenworth, that were important at the time they happened in games, and they can be important. That's a loss right there. I mean, if let's say catcher and second base got turned around or were adequate, to have Hosmer out for an indefinite period of time is a big blow.
Do you think we're looking at it seems like it's been a platoon so far with France and Cronenworth. Are we looking at that? Do you think there's any chance they move Profar there against lefties? So Garcia, they play them both? Or I guess it's probably something matters a little bit whether Profar is going to hit at all.
If Profar were hitting, that's probably almost a no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
So, but he's not. So, you know, Ty France and Jake Cronenworth are actually swinging the bat well. I don't think Ty France's average shows that, but, you know, I think that you're probably looking at that. So that is going to be what I write about today before the game, is the big hole there and what is it that they are going to do? What are their options?
Right. What's the latest you're hearing on the virus situation? The Cardinals look like they're in a little bit of trouble, but the Phillies and the Marlins are supposed to be back. So everything is sort of still holding together right now, it seems like, right?
Yeah, and we've had two Chicken Little moments, right, where everyone is kind of, oh, this is it. It's over. It's a matter of days. And look, I fell prey to that when I woke up on, what was it, Saturday? And, you know, and then I get talked down a little bit off the ledge. Okay, as long as everybody, you know, the Phillies, the Marlins, the Cardinals, they get back on track. And so far, two of those teams have. And everything will be okay. This was maybe not built into the schedule, but this was always a possibility. So seems like right now, Major League Baseball is fairly confident that they are going to be able to finish out their season. And at the very least, that they'll keep going until there is more outbreaks.
It does seem like it made teams sort of pay attention a little bit more to the protocols, if anything good could come out of something like this. I mean, I noticed a lot more guys wearing masks, not just Padre players, but even watching games yesterday, it seemed like there were, I saw more mask wearing than maybe I had seen at the beginning of the week. So maybe guys are being taking that a little more serious about making sure they, you know, stay in their rooms on the road, stay out of crowds and everything when they're home, that sort of thing. So it feels like it's, I don't want to say it's teetering, because that doesn't sound like that's too strong, but it's more like it's, there's always that threat that's there, but right now things are holding together and you know, we'll hope for the best going forward. We haven't seen anything in the West so far, which is good.
Yeah, it's because we're doing such a good job with the virus out here in the West. Where the Padres needed to tighten up was at the ballpark and during games. I firmly believe everything that I've heard, everything that I've seen, these guys, they've come up with some really good policies internally, but they've done a better job the last couple of days staying away from each other. Of course, it hasn't been a celebrate either.
Yeah, right.
It was easy for him. But I did see more guys wearing masks in the dugout, and, you know, the illusion was cracked a little bit. They are in a bubble. For whatever anybody else thinks, these guys are in much more of a bubble than the rest of us, for goodness sake. And they had this illusion that, oh, well, that means we're safe. And so maybe this was what was needed. Everybody's human. Oh, yeah, that's right. This is a big deal. We need to take care of ourselves. Right. You know, hey, I had a lot of fun watching baseball the last 10 days, so I sure hope it keeps going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's been great, certainly a lot more sports on right now with the NBA and NHL being back and everything. But there's still nothing like having baseball around. So we definitely hope that it sticks around for a while, and hope that the Padres, you know, get things turned around is a little strong, because, I mean, look, they've lost two in a row. It's certainly not the end of the world, but they do need to play better, and especially with the competition coming up the next 3 days and at the start of next week as well.
Yeah. Hey, let's go. Before we go, we got a question here from Jay on our what do we call it, our stream over here on the side?
Something
we got-
like that.
Jay, you usually handle those, but you weren't taking care of it. And I do want to say that Jay says it's been a difficult schedule thus far with no off days, all of the bad off days. I did. I went through, and the Padres were one of three teams, actually, that played that were scheduled to play 30 and 31. I can't remember if one of them was the Phillies or the Marlins or anybody. Yeah, look, they then have three off days in the final 11 days of the season. So they have said from the start, if they can get there, then maybe they're set up for the playoffs. You got to look at it that way, right? But this is, and keep that in mind when you are judging Jace Tingler's bullpen management. Keep it in mind when you're judging his lineups. I mean, everything is like, man, I got to keep this thing together for the first month just to even have the second month matter. So I can't bring this guy in, and I can't bring this guy in. And believe me, that whole bullpen matrix, the algebra that needs to be done in a regular season, is far more complicated than any of us know. How does this guy feel? You know, Jace Tingler, manager walks the outfield before a game and talks to all his relievers, okay? And he gets a report from the bullpen coach and the pitching coach. And then during the game, okay, well, this is what's happening. We get this guy to warm up. I mean, it's so much more than any of us know. And I'm not saying, look, I've questioned Jace Tingler on a few things, but the schedule has a lot to do with what they're just trying to hold together for the first month. So
are we still looking at losing a couple players off the roster? Is that Thursday,
the 6th of August. What I understood yesterday is they don't think they'll go to the 30, or they think they'll go to the 28. They don't think they'll stay at the 30 like had been proposed, but actually no one knows. And to me, I know with the Padres, like 30 players is like too much now. You know, you got to start getting your starters stretched out. You're not getting some bullpen guys. You're not getting some players enough work. On the other hand, if you're the Marlins or the Phillies and now the Cardinals, it kind of makes sense to have 30 players for a little while longer. So I don't know. From the Padres' perspective, though, it's not that big of a deal. They have 17 pitchers on their staff right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think losing a couple will be a big issue, but we can talk about that on Friday, 3 with the Dodgers, and then the first off day of the season coming on Thursday, and then the Diamondbacks come back to town, right, on Friday for the weekend before
you head out. It seems like they're playing the Diamondbacks anyway.
I know.
Then they play the Dodgers again and then go to Arizona.
And then go to Arizona, yeah.
They're done with the Diamondbacks by the middle of August, yep.
Yeah, it's a strange times, but hey, it's been a strange year. So anyway, everybody stay safe out there. Enjoy the next 3 nights of baseball, and we will talk to you on Friday.
Thanks a lot, everybody.